Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week, in our study of Daniel chapter 1, we were talking about the mindset of man that makes him continually commit the same sin because he is not immediately judged for it. In the end, that will make the judgment much worse. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, God had instructed in Leviticus, when in the land, they were to farm the land for 6 years, and in the seventh year, they were to allow the land to rest. Well, Israel would not let the land rest on the seventh year, but continued to farm it. And they did that for 490 years. Now, if you divide seven, because every seventh year it was to rest, into 490, what do you get? 70 years. How long was the captivity of Israel? 70 years. The land rested for 70 years. Now, perhaps when they continued to plant in the seventh year the first time and the second time, perhaps they thought, well, there was no terrible judgment. Therefore, it's simply not necessary to keep that command. This is crazy. And because nothing happened immediately, they went on doing it. Well, people today are the same way. They think that because God doesn't bring judgment to them immediately, that, uh-oh, I got away with it, or God doesn't really care. And so they go on with it, thinking they got away with sin. But my friend, the Bible tells us in Matthew that even every idle word men shall speak, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And you may think you get away with sin, but, oh, my friend, please understand, the day of reckoning is coming. There is a day that you stand before Him. It's kind of like the guy that gets involved in homosexuality, thinks he's got away with it, but 15, 20 years later, he has a disease from which he cannot be healed. Someone says, well, we all die anyhow, and that's true. But that does not relieve the despair, the regret, and the guilt for a life of sin compared to one who eagerly anticipates seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and being able to say, to die is gain. Now, please see that obedience to the Lord's command, it's not legalism. Now, there are people that every time you have standards, they call you a legalist. But by that same logic, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. So therefore, if you kill, somebody kills, and we condemn them, then we're being a hypocrite because that's legalism. And you say, well, Brother Andy, that's ridiculous. I agree it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous to call obedience legalism. Now, the vessels that were consecrated for use in God's temple are being carried away. They're being carried away to the land of Shinar, to the house of the false gods, because these Israelis were not obedient. Maybe a life of disobedience, or taking lightly the acts of sin because there is no immediate consequence. And you say, what's the big deal? Don't be legalistic. But later, you find out you have deviant children. And they throw in your face some of those videos you watched, some of those things that you viewed on the internet. Perhaps you're one of those that social drink, and now you have children that are drunkards. You see, my friend, a law of God is that the wages of sin is death, but it also says that what you sow, you also reap. Israel had desecrated the temple by making it like the world. They tried to fashion its worship after the world. They had things of the world in it. They had despised the Word of God by undermining it or by ignoring it. Today, people use all types of Bible versions, and I prefer to call them perversions. The Bible that you have, make sure that it is translated from the Masoretic text for the Old Testament, and for the New Testament, the Textus Receptus. If it's not from those texts, then my friend, the Bible you have is going to have error. You say, well, I understand it a little bit better. Well, the truth of the matter is, once you read it and apply yourself, it's not as hard to understand as you think, but nonetheless, the Holy Spirit must teach it to us anyhow. So even the easiest English writing must be understood, that it's not the clarity of the English, but rather the teaching of the Holy Spirit to the heart that's important. The Jewish people had accepted the false, tickle-your-ears prophets, and had killed the true prophets. And the city was now filled with the houses of the Sodomites, and with sexual promiscuity, and with idol worship. And then there was also just plain old apathy and indifference to the things of God. Now, unfortunately, America is following that same pattern today. We want to legalize sodomite marriages, sexual promiscuity. We want to provide things for them. And yet, we don't want Christians to read their Bible anywhere, especially in a public place. And Sunday morning, Sunday evening, midweek church service, we'll find more people that say they believe in God are in their homes than are in the house of God. You see, the Bible correctly states that in these last days men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, all religious, oh, I believe in God, but denying the power of, not a committed, sanctified, pure, and holy life. That's dedicated unto God. And that's happening. And, my friend, just because it's not immediate, don't think this country will not be judged as Israel thought it wouldn't happen to her. My friend, the judgments of God are sure. Psalms 9, verse 17 says this, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." America will not get away with it if she does not repent. So we look at these first two verses, and they are verses that tell us what has been predicted over and over to this point has now happened. Israel is in captivity, even 100 years earlier, telling that Babylon would come. And now, the vessels from the house of God have been desecrated by taking them into the treasure house of these false gods. And so, Nebuchadnezzar comes in, and he attacks the king of Judah, and he carries him off to Babylon. But he also carried some others. And in verses 3 through 7, we see the bringing in of the slaves for the captivity to serve the king of Babylon. Look at verses 3 and 4 here of Daniel chapter 1. There we read, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, in cunning, in knowledge, in understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now Nebuchadnezzar orders certain of the nobility of Judah to Babylon. These were for the most part teenagers, probably anywhere from 13 to 19 years old. But the specific teenagers he wants are those who are skillful in wisdom. They are cunning in knowledge. They understand science. Plus, they are fine physical people. They're not really handicapped persons. And so they would bring these in, and then they would instruct them in the things of the Babylonians. And after doing that, they would appoint them to government offices. Now, why would Nebuchadnezzar choose these young men, and why would he choose young men of the enemy? Well, in many countries, even up to the last century, the only persons allowed to pursue their education were the priest and the nobility. Education was for the classes rather than for the masses. You see, if you were the upper class, you could be educated, but not as part of the mass. The main ones in Israel would be the offspring of the priest and of the nobility. The four young Hebrew men that we'll read about in this chapter, in verse 6, were already educated, and they were chosen to continue their study. However, their education now is under the Babylonian court. They've been carried off into captivity. They've been carried off, perhaps against their will. And to keep them from revolting, and to keep them from urging their seed to rebel, these men were made eunuchs, just like we read in Isaiah 39:7, that was predicted 100 years earlier. And they're made eunuchs because it will take away from them the ability to have a family. And then their lives can be dedicated to the government of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar will try to brainwash these young people. Now, you ever wonder why you go to a college and you see these young people with the dress way out there, and then they have these way out morals, they have these way out standards of living and everything that just goes against decency and right. And those same people about 20 years later are shaking their heads at young people in colleges that are also going against the grain. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.